Hello again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, joining you again from a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Vancouver. And I'm speaking today with a colleague from the United Kingdom who's at the end of his day and still made some time available for us, Ben Kumwenda, who's a research administrator in the Medical Education Institute and the coordinator of the electives program at the medical school at the University of Dundee in Scotland. We're going to discuss a paper that he and his colleagues have coming out in the June 2014 issue of Medical Education that's entitled Western Medical Students' Experiences on Clinical Electives in Sub-Saharan Africa. Thanks, Ben, for taking the time to chat with me. I know it's after your regular work hours, but certainly appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Kevin. You're most welcome.
Electives, obviously, are something that most, if not all, medical schools get involved in, and there are a variety of issues that have been raised and studied in the literature, and maybe we could start by you giving us a sense as to how you became, first of all, interested in the topic of electives, and what led you down the path of taking on a formal role to support electives training in medical school.
Okay, thanks. I think since the introduction to the UK medical schools in the 1970s, electives have kind of become popular in the curriculum. And over time, we've seen a number of students going abroad for their elective. So, for instance, a study in Australia, I think the paper was published in 2011, found that 56% of Australian medical students undertake a foreign medical elective in a low or middle income country. And also back home here in the UK, around 5,000 students will go abroad for their elective, and half of these go to a developing country. And there have been a number of theories that have been put forward to explain the popularity of electives. That's beyond the general flow of travel costs. And basically, what motivates students to go further afield is just to have a different cultural and clinical environment. And also, it has been found out that the electives, they help students gain greater experience of tropical diseases, that is, if they go to a developing country, and also having an experience of those diseases associated with poverty. And also, in a way, students tend to increase their clinical and diagnostic skills. And furthermore, research does indicate that there is greater interest of primary care medicine for more students after they have done an elective in low or middle income country. But then, despite their popularity, there have also been key concerns. And of particular concern is whether students will take excessive clinical responsibility. I think there's a paper by Damaris who said that frequently perceived by students as an opportunity to practice clinical skills that can result in vulnerable communities serving as a means to fulfill the student's own ends rather than serving the community's identified needs. So in a way, we feel that we could be looking at medical electives as being kind of problematic.
And in your context then, what stage of training would people typically do this type of elective, and what sort of preparation do you provide for them to try to maximize the advantages and minimize those other issues?
Yeah, I think each medical school has got its own approach to electives. But for most schools here in the UK, the students would go towards fourth or fifth year. So at least towards the end of their training. But I know of other institutions where students would go for an elective while they're just in their third year. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of institution specific, no agreed standard as to when electives can happen.
Right, and I can imagine in some of those earlier students, they might be at greater risk of medical tourism and taking on activities that they're not quite ready for yet. Whether that's the case or not, what do you do locally to try to prepare your students for these experiences?
Yeah, in our case, for students that are going to developing countries, we do have some modules that they do before they go out, but then these are not mandatory. Neither are they accredited, so students can choose not to do them, but we have that resource to utilize.
Right, okay. And so when you decided to study the experience that these students were having. You conducted interviews, as I understand it, over 800 minutes worth of them. And what was the research question that you were most interested in with this project?
Yes, actually, in this project, we wanted to look at what were the factors that motivated students to do an elective in a low-income country, and also what clinical activities were undertaken by the students during the elective, and how comfortable or uncomfortable were the students in doing those tasks. Also, we were interested in looking at the learning and clinical supervision, whether the learning or the supervision met the students' expectation, and also whether the students felt that their presence to the host had any impact. So here we're talking of whether they were a burden or a boost to the host. So those are some of the questions that we're trying to answer in our project.
And did you get any sense as to what factors positioned people to have a positive influence and which ones caused problems?
Yes, Kevin, we had some very good findings. I mean, apart from the obvious ones which have been done before, where students said, okay, I came to a low developing country to do my electives just because I wanted to gain more clinical experience, having more hands-on experience. One of the striking things was that the students be trying to do the obvious good. So the students gave us an impression that they had considered where they wanted to go in some detail, and they talked about self-awareness and the opportunity to do the obvious good. So I think that's something that we felt like it was kind of missing in the current literature. So it's not that students are just waking up one morning and then they say, okay, I'm going to a low-income country for my elective. It's something that they have thought about it in detail. And also what we found out was that I think the way the students reported is that although their institutions had rich information about the countries to which the students can go, it was evident that this was only available at national level. So students were struggling to get information about the unit that they were going. Of course, they were using other sources like student blogs or maybe reports from students who have been to the site before. But then this was a student's own initiative, not something that is coming from the school that is sending them. Also, moving on, I think one of the other interesting things is that looking at the types of electives which are there at the moment, I think there are two, where the first one is where the student would approach the host directly and arrange their own elective, and then the other one is what in our paper we are calling the partnership elective model, where there is that link between a sending institution and the host. And it appeared that students who are coming through the partnership model were kind of better prepared and were more satisfied with their elective experience in general.
Right, okay. And is that because they felt greater support? They had greater opportunities? Do you have any sense as to what was driving that satisfaction?
I think probably because with the partnership model, I think there is a sense where the receiving side feel like they have a responsibility of providing more information to the student who's coming, and students are well looked after, they are well supervised. And also with the partnership model, I think there are clear benefits in that kind of relationship because the host, they might be getting some financial support. And I think there's another paper which will be coming out of this because the interviews that we did, it was both with the students and the staff at the site. But for the sake of this paper, we only decided to publish the results with the students. But talking with the post, they say that we are in favor of the partnership model because we are assured of resources coming through the system.
Right, and one of the things that I know you went looking for deliberately was inappropriate practice or things that students might have been getting into that they arguably shouldn't have. What safeguards were put in place to try to avoid those things, and did the students feel pressured to take on activities that they maybe shouldn't have?
No, actually, the other good thing, Kevin, is that students clearly enjoy becoming involved in the patient care as much as possible, but at the same time, they are aware of their limitations, which gave the impression that they were not pushed out of their comfort zone, and in as much as possible they tried to avoid putting themselves in such situations. But then being in this environment, sometimes students unknowingly found themselves in such situations. In one instance, there was a student who was involved in an emergency situation, and it became apparent that the host had mistaken, had thought this student was the expatriate doctor whom they were expecting. So in that case, I think you could tell that it wasn't the student's fault in the first way. There was what we're calling the communication lapse, because the receiving end didn't have adequate information as to who is coming, what level of training do they have, and also the student didn't have even enough information, wasn't prepared well, so as how to say no and when to say no. Mm-hmm. So going to these environments, I think we know that such discrepancies in the student's level of practice, they're bound to happen, and that's something that students need to be prepared for.
And that leads nicely to my final question, which is that as a coordinator of an electives program yourself, what do your data, what does this effort make you want to convey to other individuals who are in the same role as you are? What sort of implications or lessons should other elective programs coordinators take away from this?
The message home, I think, is that the donor medical schools at the moment, they're not doing enough to help the students, and yet majority of the students, they want to do more, they want to help out. And just have a good example. Yeah, one of the respondents proposed his own model and said, okay, why can't highly resourced institutions be persuaded to use part of their teaching funds to support overseas sites in exchange of the time spent by the host providing the learning environment? I think that's one of the avenues that probably in future medical educators should be thinking seriously about.
That sounds like a good note to end on. It does give us a definite path forward and something more to think about, as you said. So I'm going to wrap up by, first of all, just thanking you for your time and your insights and this interesting paper, and by reminding our listeners that I've been speaking with Bem Kumwenda, who is publishing an article in the June 2014 issue of Medical Education entitled Western Medical Students' Experiences on Clinical Electives in Sub-Saharan Africa. Thanks again, Ben, for your time, and I look forward to hearing how this work evolves.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you.